Hi, my name is Pat, and I am a grateful believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I would like to give a commentary on that reading. I'm going to start where I ended, actually. This morning, I went through verse 7. I'm actually going to start at verse 7. Verse 7 says, "However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ." One of the things that I had to learn in my Christian walk was the difference between the talents that he has given me and the gift that he gives me once I turn my will and my life over to the care of Jesus Christ. My talents are things that I'm born with that give me ability to shine in a way. It gives me, some people are talented musically, you know, some people are, you know, they have talents intellectually, different talents that we're given. But once we become believers in the Lord, he gives us a special gift, and it says, through the generosity of Christ. And that gift, later on what it says in verse 12, it says their responsibility, the people who have these gifts, is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church and the body of Christ. So the gift that the Lord has given to me has been given to build up his church and to also equip the body of Christ. Just like people who share their gifts with me, then I get equipped through who they are. And I'm learning to embrace the gift that I have been given and not to fear it. Not to be puffed up because of it and not to cower away from expressing it. I, again, have to remember it has been given for the primary purpose of building the church, and there is much work to be done. And I pray to keep in mind that the devil will work hard to distract me from the call on my life. I shared earlier, at the earlier meeting, that I was born with a speech defect. I had a birth defect of a cleft palate and did not get the first repair until I was about 4 years old. I had already tried to start speaking and did not have the mechanisms in place to actually do the speaking. So my voice sounded at best nasal. I actually did not even have the mechanism until I was in 11th grade to really speak consonants clearly. And so I had a series of operations and always felt like I could not speak understandably, or when I did speak, I didn't feel confident in the way that I spoke. And so it was really surprising to me that I still had this desire to work with children and to, you know, work in the classroom. And when I became a born-again believer, I realized that the Lord took that talent and also made it into a gift, gave me that gift of teaching, of being able to read his word and actually to love his word, to be drawn to his word and to love it and to enjoy it and to study it. It's no hardship for me to study it. I actually have such a joy in doing that. And there was still that little needling in the back of my mind that I was not like other teachers. I always felt that when I heard my voice, a part of me used to cringe, like, oh, you know, if, you know, it doesn't sound like the person on TV or whatever. And the Lord actually spoke to me through his word. And I shared this morning that I take, is a verse that I put on the top of my agenda page daily. It is from Exodus 4, verses 11 and 12, where Moses actually is concerned about his speech. He just felt that he wasn't eloquent enough to do what the Lord had called him to do. And the Lord, the verse says, "Then the Lord said to him, 'Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak.'" And I love it that that is what the gifting is all about. It is definitely given to build up the church, but at the same time, it is empowered by the Lord himself. And as I keep my mind and my heart on him, I don't have to fear it. I don't have to, like I said, cower away from it, that it is a gift. And so, and everyone who comes to the Lord has been given a gift. In that way, Paul says in verse 11, he says, "Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers." And in Corinthians, he also even goes in more about different gifts that we have, gifts of hospitality and grace. And so there are different gifts, you know, but it's one, we're one body, same spirit. And so I really ask the Lord to help me to be filled up with his word so that I can be a blessing to others. There's a popular saying that people say now that we are blessed to be a blessing. So I pray that I am a blessing and I'll continue to be a blessing. Verse 13 says, "This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son." And again, my part in this is that I need to be reading the Word, studying the Word, memorizing the Word, and living it out in my life. As I do those things, this is how I come to know Jesus better. I remember hearing very early in my walk with the Lord as a new Christian, that Jesus is found all over the Bible. Everywhere I look in the Bible, I can find Jesus. And in the Old Testament, it tells about his coming and why he was needed and why we need him. And in the New Testament, it gives a history of him. And it also gives a history of the church. And it gives also a prophecy of what is going to come next, what we can expect, the end of the world and his coming back. And so later on in that verse 13, it says the reason for all of this is that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. When we were studying Galatians, Paul said in chapter 4, verse 1 to 3, he says, what I'm saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave. Although he owns the whole estate, he is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. I was thinking today, you know, there are people who are not mature in the Lord. They know the Lord, but they're not mature in the Lord. And my experience has been this, that they might try really praying for the willingness and strength to really become more purposeful in studying, reading, memorizing, and applying God's Word. If they really truly make it the first thing in their life and in their day and keep going back to it throughout the day, and it becomes a magnificent obsession, I believe that things will change for them. Verse 14 says, "Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like truth. I was speaking to someone this morning, and I was sharing with her, I can still remember a pastor saying he was telling that, you know, there's going to be false teachers at the final days, and we are in the final days, and so there will be people who will masquerade as angels of light, and we have to be very, very wise in being able to spot them. And he was saying that the best way to spot them is to really focus in on the truth. He was comparing it to people who learn to spot counterfeit money. And he said that they spend most of their time looking at real money. That's what they do. They don't spend their time looking at counterfeit money and trying to distinguish it. They look at real money so that when the counterfeit money comes across their path, they can recognize it right away for what it's not. And I know that that is definitely true for me. As I read through the Bible year after year, I'm beginning to know what is in it. And so when people misquote it or say something that is not there, I may not know right away, but I can think it through and I can go, whoa, wait a minute. That is more from, somebody saying something in the world versus what is biblical. And so I'm grateful for that, to have the Lord open up my eyes in that way. Verses 15 and 16, it says, instead we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing full of love. That's what I come to experience as I really abandon myself to what God has for me in this life and the next. I like at the beginning of 15 that phrase, speak the truth in love. That is definitely a challenge for me. Some parts of me, my flesh, would not like to rock the boat all the time. And so a lot of times I don't want to say anything, although it's truthful and I have been nudged to say something to someone. What I have come to understand, though, too, is that when I am walking in the Lord and being led by the Spirit, I can do it in a loving way. I can speak the truth in a loving way. And if I find that I can't do that, then I need to ask for filling up the Holy Spirit. You know, fill me up, Holy Spirit. Help me to be able to work well for you. Verse 17 says, with the Lord's authority I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. And that makes me understand that it's so important that I'm very careful about the media and how much time I spend in the presence of the media. Because for the most part, the media has been penned and authored by people who don't know him yet. And so because they don't know him yet, they can take things that sound very close to truth, but it's not truth. And so, and if I am under the tutelage of the media most of my life, then my mind is going to be full of darkness, and I will wander away from that which God has given to me. It's really beneficial for me to remind myself that I've been redeemed and that I'm a new creation and that the Spirit of Christ indwells me. And this is why fellowship with other believers is essential. I can sense it in them, which helps me to verify it in me. And when I don't remember, they can help me to remember, again, by their behavior and by the things that they are being taught. Verse 19 says, they have no sense of shame and they live for lustful pleasure. The devil truly is a counterfeit and is a liar. And the nature of the devil is that he advertises a pleasure that is better than God's. If you go back to Genesis, you know, Adam and Eve had everything that they could need or want. And yet the devil was able to manufacture a good lie to say that, well, what God has given you is nothing to what he, you know, is reserving, told you not to do. And so that's a huge lie. And he does it all the time. He used to do it with the overeating, you know, where I had a way to abstain, and yet the devil was just on me all the time that, ooh, you know, look at what you are missing, you poor thing, you know. And so I would be going after that lustful pleasure, and not knowing that if once I would stay clean and clear and committed in my recovery, that there was a greater life waiting for me. There is no greater life than to be working purposefully in the Spirit and building the kingdom of God in the fellowship of God. Definitely when I was eating, fellowship with anybody was hard. Usually when I was eating, I isolated and I didn't like people around me because I didn't like them seeing how much I could eat. And so I isolated from them, and definitely I isolated from the Lord because I felt shameful. I isolated. I didn't want to talk to God or even think about the things of God because I felt ashamed. Verse 23, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. 24, put on your new nature, created to be like God. There are two verses in Romans 12, 1 and 2, and they read, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And then it goes on to say, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And so I have to use the gifts that the Lord had given to me to be a living sacrifice that is holy and pleasing to God. Verse 25 says, stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbor the truth. And I think about how in the 12-step rooms they have a dictate, rigorous honesty. And that is definitely divinely inspired, that as I strive for honesty, it really helps me to clean up my act in other areas too. Verse 26 and 27 says, don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. For anger gives foothold to the devil. Anger is steeped in the belief in my importance, and that importance has been violated. I have no importance outside of Jesus, and God knows how to avenge any place where I might have, gotten to be, quote-unquote, a victim. Verse 29, it says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear him. And hear them, I'm sorry. Then 30 and 31 and 32 says, and do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Excuse me. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Goes on to say, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. And there's a contemporary Christian singer. Her name is Damaris Carbow, and she actually used to sing with the Brooklyn Tabernacle, and some years back she went off on her own. And I love her songs because she chooses them with such care that sometimes, you know, writers can not always write what is true or biblical. But there are some gifted Christian writers who are able to do that. And I'm grateful that she chooses to take songs and sing songs from people who are knowledgeable of the word and are very careful about the things that they teach others to sing. I know there was a song on one of her albums, and it uses those Ephesians verses. It says, so be kind and be tender to one another, filled with compassion, loving and true, and with open arms forgive one another as God has in Christ forgiven you. But I'm going to stop and ask our shepherd if she could share some thoughts about this chapter. Vanessa?